Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Kingston Economic Development Corporation and the Community Foundation for Kingston and Area have partnered up, launching a new workshop series designed specifically to help not-for-profit organizations tackle their unique challenges. The Community Foundation for Kingston and Area, also known as CFKA, plays a crucial role in supporting local nonprofits, pairing them up with interested donors and providing grant funding. CFKA has granted over $15 million to charities across KFLNA as of 2023. Kingston Economic Development is the sales and marketing arm for the City of Kingston, an entity focused on attracting new businesses, the growth and retention of existing business, and tourism opportunities. These organizations came together to create the Not-for-Profit Academy series after identifying a need for more resources for nonprofits in the Kingston area. With over 150 registered nonprofits in Kingston, these organizations make up a significant chunk of Kingston's economy. This afternoon, they will be kicking off the first workshop of the series, Strategic Communication Planning. The second will be Audience Mapping and Key Messages for Not-for-Profits, planned to run on November 13th. In the future, KED and CFKA are hoping to get feedback from participants and shape the rest of the series around the specific needs of Kingston's local nonprofits. I sat down with Stacey Kelly, Executive Director for Community Foundation for Kingston and Area, and Rob Tamblin, a Business Development Manager with Kingston Economic Development, to discuss the new series launching today. I was wondering if you'd like to just both introduce yourselves and your roles with this series.
So my name is Stacey Kelly, and I'm the Executive Director of the Community Foundation for Kingston and Area. And I guess I might call myself the instigator of this idea, but I knew that in order for it to flourish, you wanted to have a partner. And so we reached out to our wonderful friends at Kingston Economic Development Corporation.
And I'm Rob Tamblin. I'm a business development manager for the Kingston Economic Development Corporation. And I think I'd echo Stacey's thoughts. I think we certainly had heard from organizations within the community about lacking some resources and whatnot in the not-for-profit sector. So when Stacey approached us, it was like, yes, this makes total sense. Let's do it.
Stacey, you mentioned there you were the instigator of this project. What sort of sparked the interest in starting the series?
When I returned to Kingston in August 2022 to take on this role, I did what I've been sort of calling my rediscovery tour of Kingston and meeting with a bunch of staff and leaders and program folks from a variety of the agencies that we fund across the city. And it came really obvious to me that there were some challenges and gaps in both capacity and resources that our agency partners were facing. And that led me to think that as wonderful it is that we are a granting organization and provide funding through grants, it's not the only way we can support addressing some of these issues and gaps and opportunities for collaboration for these wonderful agencies. And so it occurred to me that perhaps there was support beyond granting that we really should be thinking about creating to address the needs of our community partners.
Awesome. And Rob, what did you think when Stacey came to you with this idea?
Well, as I said, I think, we certainly, we're in touch with a number of different organizations within the Kingston business community. When people think economic development, they always think for profit, but that certainly isn't always the case. We had heard about, challenges that those in the not-for-profit sector are facing, and it seemed to be some commonalities. So, as I said, when Stacey chatted with us, we thought, well, this would be a perfect thing to partner in and launch.
Great. And we'll dive a bit more into the details in a minute, but what is the Not-for-Profit Academy series for folks who have never heard of it before?
Well, what we're trying to do is this is really the kickoff, because we anticipate having more. Mm-hmm. One of the first sort of gaps that we noticed that people had is there's a lot of nonprofits that don't have dedicated marketing communication staff, for example. And so we thought this would be maybe a nice, easy and early kind of win and sort of, we want to provide value, right? So we reached out to some experts in the city to help develop the first two opening sessions for this academy. So the first is around strategic communication planning, which is in October 30th. And then in November 14th, it's sort of almost like, you know, think of it like, you know, if you're in school during the prerequisites, it's not required, but I think it's sort of part two, a little bit more in depth. It's around audience mapping and key messaging for nonprofits. So really sort of building on the fundamental knowledge of the first session. But of course, you know, you can register for both, you can register for one, and however. And what we want to do with that is then, you know, survey our participants and understand more about what other types of topics they'd like to hear from us. You know, where are those knowledge gaps that we could help them develop in terms of their capacity for their organizations?
It sounds like you're going to do some digging to find out exactly what folks in the nonprofit sector are looking for. But starting off, how are these workshops going to differ from other business-oriented workshops? What are some of those things that differentiate nonprofits from other kinds of businesses that cause them to require this unique approach?
Well, I mean, I guess from our perspective, most of the workshops that we run are targeted specifically to businesses who either have a product or service to sell to, you know, their target market. So there's a certain way to do that. And you know, quite often that's would be an easier thing to do than when you're looking at the audience that a not-for-profit targets. So I think that there's some subtle nuances and some differences that make it a really a unique learning opportunity. So that's what we're really trying to do with the two sessions coming up on marketing is really look at it from the vision of these organizations in the not-for-profit sector, because they certainly face unique challenges that for-profit companies don't.
Yeah, and Stacey, did you have anything on that?
Oh, I love what Rob said, and I agree. I think just to build on that, the key differentiator here is that our two presenters, the co-leads who developed these two courses, have developed it from that perspective, as Rob is saying, of the not-for-profit organization, which has slightly different levers, slightly different North Star than the for-profit. While there are similarities in terms of we are all enterprises, the key differentiator there being, as Rob was alluding, is a slightly different sort of pivot around what are the different levers we have in terms of marketing ourselves. What are the levers for raising revenues? Traditionally, right, we don't have sort of a product array. How do we differentiate ourselves even within our own market amongst other nonprofits and around that sort of audience, understanding who our audiences are, what's the right messaging to build for those audiences, to build build an audience, build and inspire and engage around the cause and our mission.
Yeah, for sure. And Rob, you mentioned right off the top that maybe not-for-profits isn't immediately what people are thinking about when they think Kingston Economic Development. I was wondering if you could both dive a bit deeper into the importance of supporting our not-for-profits and providing series like this, even though it might not be immediately what people think of when they think Kingston Economic Development.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, I think that the stat in Kingston is there's over 150 registered not-for-profits in the city. So certainly, you know, they have a huge impact on the overall economic activity in the greater Kingston area. And that's not just in terms of the number of people that they employ, but the number of goods and services that they buy within the community. I mean, to be honest, I think that it's also growing, right? So I think recognizing that and doing something that's specifically for them will go a long way to helping that sector.
Yeah, for sure. And Stacey, did you have anything on that?
Well, yeah, and thank you very much, Rob, for providing that local piece. Certainly, I have at my hands, the Ontario sector. It may shock people to know that there's 58,000 nonprofits and charities in Ontario alone, who employ just under 900,000 people, and contributed just shy of 8% to the province's GDP. That's like $65 billion in economic impact. This is a huge sector. I think people often, you know, in the news or cocktail parties, only think about the large, maybe more potentially quote sexy, for profit. But the reality is, it's a massive sector that makes a huge impact to Rob's point, on our local economies, our provincial economies, and of course at the national scale. So there's a lot of charities doing great work, and we're all still in that post-pandemic recovery phase. And there are challenges for the sector. There are headwinds in the sector. And so what we're trying to understand from the local context as a community foundation is, what are those particular pressure points and stressors on our organizations, and what role can and should we play to help bolster our partners across the region? And in this case, again, it's we don't have unlimited financial resources. So part of the thinking was, okay, well, in addition to the granting that we do annually, what can we do to help support? And again, from the need, you know, understanding the needs of our organizations and where we think we can provide value.
Once again, that was Stacey Kelly with Community Foundation for Kingston and Area, and Rob Tamblyn with Kingston Economic Development on the Not-for-Profit Academy workshop series kicking off this afternoon, and to be continued with more sessions planned in the future. Workshops are being held virtually, and registration can be completed online at investkingston.ca/events. In a message directly from the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, improving home energy efficiency with sustainable Kingston. The Kingston Frontenac Public Library's One Earth Climate Series, in partnership with Sustainable Kingston, takes a deep dive into topics relating to climate, sustainability, and energy efficiency. Presentations given by energy professionals from Sustainable Kingston and a representative of Little Forest Kingston provide suggestions on how to save money on home utility and repair costs while having a positive impact on the environment. This series covers a wide range of topics, including modifying basements and foundation energy upgrades, attics and heat installation, home retrofitting, reimagining urban lawns as pocket meadows and forests, and the Better Homes Kingston program. Olivia Camforest, librarian at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, states, quote, "Many routine practices of powering, heating, cooling, and landscaping around our homes are detrimental to the environment. There is no time quite like the present, and therefore no better time to make small changes within our homes that yield positive environmental outcomes. There are many ways to make a difference, even transforming an urban grass lawn into an oasis for wildlife and pollinators, where wildflowers, trees, and shrubs are allowed to grow undisturbed, will have a tremendous impact." Join KFPL and Sustainable Kingston on Monday evenings from 6 to 7:30 p.m. until November 26th. This is a drop-in program, and admission will be on a first-come, first-served basis. The location of each date varies among KFPL branches and the Kingston East and Rideau Heights Community Centers. For more information and the location of each session, you can visit the Kingston Frontenac Public Library website. Finishing off tonight, we have a quick note from the City of Kingston. The Name Our Plow campaign is back this year, and the City's Public Works Department is looking for your fun and imaginative names to put on the side of one of its snow plows. Submit your cool, creative, and Kingston-specific plow names at Get Involved Kingston, and you can be seeing it on a Kingston plow this winter. Submissions will be accepted from October 28th at 12 p.m. until November 12th at 4 p.m., at which point the city will select a short list of names. The community will have the opportunity to vote on their favorite snowplow name from November 18th to November 25th on Get Involved Kingston. The winning name will be revealed on December 9th. The 2023 Name Our Plow campaign garnered more than 400 name submissions. Mernie Plower joined the fleet after receiving the most votes from the public. Snow plowing is serious business in Kingston. We work continuously in the winter to plow more than 1,800 kilometers of road lanes and 600 kilometers of sidewalks. Learn more about winter maintenance at cityofkingston.ca/snow. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Isabella with your CFRC Sports Report.
Hello and welcome to the CFRC Sports Desk. I'm Isabella Garrido, your CFRC Sports Reporter, bringing you the latest athletics updates. Let's kick things off with women's hockey, where the Gales will face the Windsor Lancers on November 1st at 7:30 p.m. at the Memorial Center. Recently, the Gales faced a tough battle against the Waterloo Warriors, where they just fell short, losing 3-2. Despite dominating stretches of play, they couldn't close the gap in the final minutes. Gales generated quality scoring chances early on, but it was Waterloo's Erica Porter who struck first. However, Queens responded strongly with goals from Allison Reeves and Taya Leonard, giving them a brief lead. Unfortunately, Waterloo capitalized on a penalty, allowing Porter to score again and eventually clinch the game. Queens outshot Waterloo 32-27, showing their potential to break through in upcoming matches. With their current record at 1-4, they are looking to bounce back against Windsor and bring home a victory. Switching gears to basketball, the men's team is coming off of an impressive season opener, securing a 97-81 road win against the Guelph Griffins. Despite trailing early, the Gaels rallied in the second quarter and never looked back. First-year player Ollie Engine made a remarkable debut, leading the team with 23 points and 5 rebounds. Lucas Silas also had a strong performance with 21 points. The team shot 48% from the floor and is heading into their home opener against the Windsor Lancers on November 1st at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Arc. The women's basketball team, however, had a challenging start to their season, falling 83-54 against Guelph in their opener. The first quarter was competitive, but a tough second quarter, where they were outscored 29-11, set the tone for the game. Haley Barbieri led the Gaels in 17 points, while Michaela McFarland chipped in with a 10. Queens shot just 30% from the floor and will need to improve their shooting percentage if they want to find success against Windsor, also on November 1st at 6 o'clock p.m. Both basketball teams will be looking for strong performances as they head into these matchups. The pressure is on to turn their season around, especially for the women after their tough loss. Queens fans will surely pack the Arc to support both teams during this doubleheader against Windsor. Looking ahead, it's crucial for both these teams to find their rhythm early on in the season. With plenty of games ahead, the Gaels are hoping to build these experiences and improve their standings in the OUA. That's a wrap for our sports updates today. This has been Isabella Garrido with your CFRC Sports Desk. Now back to Christina Laurie with your weather report for this evening.
Thank you, Isabella. This is Christina coming in with your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting a few clouds with winds being 20 kilometers per hour, gusting to 40 and becoming light late this evening. We have a low of 14 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, Thursday, October 31st, we're expecting sunny skies. We'll have increasing cloudiness early in the afternoon. Winds will be 30 kilometers per hour in the morning. We have a high of 21 degrees and a UV index of 3 or moderate. Thursday night, we'll have cloudy skies with a 60% chance of showers and a low of 9. On Friday, November 1st, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 11 degrees. Friday night, clear skies with a low of minus 3. Getting into the weekend, on Saturday, November 2nd, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 9, and Saturday night, clear skies with a low of plus 3. Finishing off the week on Sunday, November 3rd, we'll have a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 12 degrees. Sunday night, cloudy skies with a low of 6. That wraps up your quick weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC traffic report with Jesse Bell.
This is Jesse Bell with your weekly traffic report from October 27th to October 31st, 2024. Pavement rehabilitations will take place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. McDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Highway 401 eastbound at Highway 15 will have a full mainline closure October 27th and October 28th, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. for both days. Highway 401 westbound at Highway 15 will have full mainline closures October 27th through 31st, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. for each of those days. And now the road closures for the week. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert, is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Collingwood Street, Earl de Union, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, is closed until October 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic, however. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, is closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. University Avenue, Union to Earl, is closed for construction related to the Queen's J-Duck project. Waterside Way, Scarlet the Schooner, is closed October 30th to October 31st to accommodate roadway painting. Wellington Street, Maine to George, is closed until October 30th to accommodate construction-related activity for the Berryfield Highlands subdivision project. Other delays you can expect to see this week: Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kid, expect delays while a contractor begins phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles slash Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Creekford and Centennial, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. And Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard at Elmwood, expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
Now it's time for your CFRC Community Events Calendar. Have an event in Kingston that you'd like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us today at cfrc.ca. Starting off today on Monday, October 28th, Brass and One-Eyed Jacks are hosting their weekly trivia game starting at 7 and 7:45 p.m. respectively. Also tonight, head over to Kingston Penn to enjoy Pumpkin Inferno from 7:15 to 8:45 p.m. Tickets are $21. On Tuesday, October 29th, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. You can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon downtown at 5:30 p.m. for a weekly fun run. The run is for all ages and abilities. Later on Tuesday night, Daft Brewing is hosting a Euchre Night starting at 7 p.m. Folks can also enjoy Terror Tuesday at Fort Henry with a screening of the horror film Us. Tickets are $15 and the show starts at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, October 30th, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Pop-Up Market featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options between 2 and 5 p.m. Kingston Community Health Centers is also hosting a fun and friendly craft session from 9:30 a.m. till noon. This is a drop-in opportunity to meet friends and craft away. On Wednesday night, Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will host their trivia night starting at 7 p.m. And One-Eyed Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free, also starting at 7. If you're looking to get festive on Thursday, October 31st, starting at 7:15, folks can enjoy Dark Night at Fort Bright. Enjoy scary attractions with costumed actors and your friends or family. Tickets are $30. Folks can also enjoy the Halloween Parade starting at Skeleton Park, a family-friendly event starting at 4:30. Daft Brewing is hosting the Turnout Halloween Drag Show and Dance Party starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are $30 at the door. On Friday, November 1st, the YMCA will host its weekly Fresh Food Market from 9:30 to 12:30, a great opportunity to get fresh food at great prices. Also on Friday, head out to Lemoyne Point for an Autumn Forest Therapy Walk led by Stana Luxford Audie starting at 11:30 a.m. On Saturday, November 2nd, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Finishing off the week on Sunday, November 3rd, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Next up is Noah with your CFRC Concerts Calendar for this week.
And now it's time for the CFRC Concerts Calendar for this week. On Monday evening, check out Inner Harbor Jazz live at the RCHA starting at 4:30 p.m. Admission is $5. You can also see Kentucky undertaking a musical residency at the Cove Inn from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Admission is available by donation. On Tuesday evening, head over to the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. for another great edition of Weekly Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam, a free event. Also on Tuesday, you can go see Henry Norwood live at the Cove Inn from 6 to 9 p.m. Alice in the World We Live In will also be live at the Kingston Grand Theater Tuesday through Thursday at 7:30 p.m. each night. Ticket information can be found at kingstongrand.ca. On Wednesday, take a ride on the Wolf Island Ferry and pop by Open Mic Night with Mike Rapkins at Hotel Wolf Island, a free showing starting at 7 p.m. You can also head out to the Cove Inn from 5:30 to 8:30 for Wings and Tunes on the patio. On Halloween, folks can head out to see Beats Workin' performing at the RCHA from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Also on Thursday, Lucanus returns with The Man from Hell, performing live at the Musiki Cafe from 8 to 11 p.m. Admission is free. Don't miss the All Hallows Eve Electric Shakedown at the Toucan, running from 9:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. Doors open at 8, admission is free, featuring local acts like Strange Happenings, The Mature Themes, and Arachnia. You can also head over to the mansion for a rocking good time with Cassador, Carnelian, Squid Pistol, Is Bister, Roses and Revst, with DJ Devious in the Wine Cellar. $1,000 cash prize for the best costume. Doors at 8, bands at 9. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 at the door. On Friday, don't forget to stop in for free karaoke at the Buckle starting at 9 p.m. Lucas Oak will be performing at Royal Tavern 2.0, 5 to 7 p.m. as well on Friday evening. Admission is free. Also on Friday, SOS, the ABBA Experience, will be live at the Spire starting at 7:30 p.m. For ticket information, visit thespirekingston.org. The Celtic Kitchen Party will play live at Tiernan Oak Irish Pub. Admission is free. The show runs from 9 p.m. to midnight. On Saturday, Sarah Sagal Lazar will be live at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 11 p.m. Also on Saturday, Head Over Heels will be live at the Cove Inn from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Justin Sleeth and Jack Baker will also perform live music at the Creekside Bar and Grill from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also on Saturday, Soulish Fall Tour with Lost Faculty, the Third Street Band, and ChatGPT will perform at the Mansion from 8 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. James Vincent McMorrow will be live at the Broom Factory. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. On Sunday, the Gertrudes will be live at the Broom Factory. The show starts at 3:30 p.m., and admission is pay what you can. Also on Sunday, Harmon in Space will take place live at the Grand Theater. This family-friendly show runs from 2:30 to 4 p.m. Tickets are $20 for adults, $15 for students, and $10 for children. The McMillan's Camp Boys will be performing live at the Cove Inn from 1 to 4 p.m., and you can stick around for Eric and Megan taking the stage from 5 to 8 p.m. Have a concert you'd like listed on CFRC's website and announced on our airwaves? Reach out on our website contact page at cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.